One of the common risks for injury, likely in all our homes, is that awful shattering sound of broken glass. You know, when a glass is dropped in the kitchen on a hard floor or a picture frame gets knocked off the wall and you hear that smashing sound. And we have to be careful, don't we, immediately where we place our feet, especially if we're barefoot. And if we have children, we might even cry out at home, "Careful, everyone, there's glass on the floor, put some shoes on, be careful where you walk, and stay away from this area." Because even the smallest shard of glass in our foot will cause pain, especially when we're walking. It may even stop us from walking. Well, here in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is telling us, God's children, those of us trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, be careful, be very careful then how you live, or literally how you walk through life. Because in the world out there, do you know, there is broken glass all around the place. We need God's wisdom and God's instruction as we navigate through life to ensure we stay away from sexual immorality, impurity and greed, verse 3, to not partner with those who are interested in taking us away from running the race of faith, to remember that we were once darkness, but now in Jesus Christ we are light. So live as children of light. Well, how do we do this? Well, we thought about last time how God's children walk in His wisdom. And we considered how the world really measures wisdom by IQ level or how much we know, whereas the Bible tells us that true wisdom, it starts and it ends with God. The unwise person goes through life in ignorance of God, choosing to live life their own way, ignoring their Creator. The wise person lives in the fear and knowledge of God, accepting God's love to them in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and living by His Word, the Bible. And we considered that to walk in God's wisdom, well, it is to make the most of every opportunity, because we realize that time is limited. We recognize as well that the days are evil. Generally, the world thinks that if we give men and women the very best environment to live in, then things will get better. Do you know, I heard something this week that there are some campaigning in America today that if we had less police, then there would be less violence. There'd be less social violence. You see, the world says we need freedom to live. Freedom to love, however we want to love. And the world will be a better place. Yet, I can ask anyone... or anyone that I've ever asked, and they will say to me, do you know what, even if their life they think has got better, if they look at Britain, I've yet to meet someone that says, you know, Britain is a better place to live now than when I was a child. You see, the Bible is really clear. Mankind's problem is actually in our hearts. We are naturally sinful, rebellious people. We naturally reject God. We're naturally selfish. It's our hearts that often give in to temptation, and it's our hearts that are the cause of so much of the evil that we see around us. But the Bible doesn't just tell us about our predicament. It also tells us the solution, Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus can do heart surgery. He can give us a new heart. Through His death on the cross, we can be forgiven our sin and we can live a new life, fully reconciled with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, helping us to replace foolishness with God's will. And today we come to verse 18, where it feels that the apostle immediately highlights an example of foolishness. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. We may come back to think about this next time. But he goes on to say this, instead, and this is vital, be filled with the Spirit. Don't live under the influence of alcohol. Live under God's influence. A Christian is filled with God's Spirit, and that is the driving force as we live our lives. That is how we live in wisdom. Now, I was going to call my talk today, some people like headings for talks. I'm not overly precious, but some do. I was going to call it, well, God's Children Walk in Wisdom Part 2. Highly original, I know. But this is so essential for us, this second half of verse 18, for any of us who are Christians, for those of us wanting to live lives that are worthy, that I had to change the title. The title is this for today, Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you see, if chapter 5, 18 didn't exist, all of Paul's teaching in chapters 4, 5, and 6, well, it could never be fulfilled. We would fail. If it's all dependent in and of ourselves, we have no chance. Without verse 18, the second half of verse 18, all this instruction, well, it becomes quite legalistic. It becomes religion rather than true Christianity. You see, what Christianity is about is that our old lives were lived in our power, by our desires, by our plans, as we followed the ways of this world. And our destiny was to face God's wrath for our sin. But now, for the Christian, God has made us alive in Jesus Christ. We are light. And now our lives are lived in God's power, God's help, God's leading. I've got three questions for us today that we're going to work through as a church family. Who has the Holy Spirit? What is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And how? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? So question one, what is it, who has the Holy Spirit? And as we touched on this already in Ephesians chapter 1, I'll be a little bit briefer on the first question. But we need to go back to chapter 1 for the answer here. Who has the Holy Spirit? Or it's clearest in chapter 1. Verse 13, Paul says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Let's just pause there because it's really important. Paul is writing to a group of Christians in Ephesus, in a group of churches, and he's saying, this is how you became Christians. When you heard the gospel, when you heard the good news about the Lord Jesus. Now you see, the wonderful thing is that is how you can become a Christian today if you are listening, or if you're here and you're not a Christian. Faith comes through hearing the gospel. The gospel, the good news all about Jesus Christ. Hearing about his life. Importantly, his death, and rejoicing in his resurrection. It is to understand that Jesus didn't just come to die for other people, he came to die for you, for your sins. It is to understand that when Jesus of Nazareth died, which any historian will back up and tell you, it wasn't an event that was out of God's control, it was actually planned by God, because God recognized only Jesus, his own son, could live a pure and innocent life and be exchanged for the messy lives of you and me. The righteous one for the unrighteous one. You see, Jesus endured hell, and when people talk about hell, sometimes they miss the key, most painful bit about hell that we know nothing of yet, and that is separation from God. Even if you're not a Christian, you are still at the moment being blessed by God's common grace. The worst thing about hell is true separation from Almighty God. Well, Jesus endured hell, separation from God on the cross, so that those who had placed their faith in him could enjoy heaven and be with him forever and God the Father. Sorry, we read on. Let's get to the bit about the Spirit. Maybe not straight away. You see, he says, when you believed. I just want us to note that as well. You see, becoming a Christian isn't that day when I felt all emotional and I was swept up by the worship, or that word really spoke to me. Paul doesn't say that. He doesn't say when you were all emotional, that's when you became a Christian. He doesn't say it's when you saw that flash of light, remember? Now, we may feel emotional when we become a Christian, when we understand, maybe for the very first time, that the Son of God died for us and shed his blood for us. It is common for us to become emotional, even us men. We may have an eye-opening experience, but the most important thing, what brings about salvation, is faith. It is belief. So he says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You see, God the Holy Spirit enters every Christian the moment they come to faith in Jesus. There is no delay. There is no second experience of God. When a true believer comes to faith, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells inside us. It is supernatural. It is amazing to think that God would choose to dwell in us. But I also want to say this, it is not strange, it is not weird, because there are lots that talk, and maybe even today, oh no, it's a message on the Holy Spirit. There's lots of false teaching, sadly, about the Holy Spirit, even within the church today. You see, it's not freaky. You've got to watch out for this. You see, it's not consistent with what the Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is. This is what we read in the Bible, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A Christian with God's Spirit indwelling in them is different, but in a really positive, godly way. Now, if you claim to be a Christian, but you don't think you have the Holy Spirit in your life, well, I do pray as we look at the Bible today, and the Holy Spirit helps us to understand that you'll grasp something of the person of the Holy Spirit and recognize his presence in your life. But if you come away and you're still not sure, well, please ask me some questions afterwards. Speak to someone else. Every Christian receives the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians in Rome, he talks about how the Christian now sets their mind and their desires on the Holy Spirit's mind and desires, God's desires, not what we once desired, not our fleshly desires. And he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. You see, it couldn't be clearer. If you claim to be a Christian and you know nothing of the Holy Spirit in your life, you may not be a Christian. The Bible says you're not a Christian. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Ephesians 1, when you believe, you were marked in him. That's Jesus. You were authenticated with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside a Christian, he comes holy. No Christian receives 70% of the Holy Spirit. Another Christian only gets 50%. He comes and dwells fully in every single Christian. Well, question two, what is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I want to make a couple of immediate points, and then we'll go into a little bit more detail. But the first one is this. Notice verse 18. It is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. If you read your Bible often, you'll know that God doesn't really make suggestions. He says, this is best. This is what you should do. Now, we're not commanded in the Bible to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us, as we've just been thinking about. God graciously gives his Holy Spirit to each believer. But we are commanded here to be filled with the Spirit. Just introductory point one. Second point on this verb translated here, be filled, it is very much in the present tense. This is a command for now. It's not a completed action. nor is it something just for the future. It is be filled now. And the thought that Paul is presenting here is a constant filling, day by day by day, moment by moment by moment. You see, it's not like our cars. I've got a Volvo parked probably somewhere near here. I think the tank capacity is about 70 litres of diesel. Sorry, everyone, that's... It goes further than your electric cars, mind you. Sorry, I'm not bragging. Get over 650 miles in my Volvo. Sorry, Russell, that was for you as well. But you see, when it runs out, I need to fill it again. Well, that's different to what Paul is saying here. The Christian doesn't have a tank. We don't fill up on a Sunday and then expect to get through unscathed, ready for the next Sunday to get a refill. No, this is a constant filling. You see, our engine, our hearts and our minds, they need this constant filling of fuel to be filled with the Spirit. That's how a Christian lives in wisdom, not just Sunday by Sunday or every other Sunday. Quick, I need a refill. But daily filling, moment by moment. You see, it's no good for you. Let me tell you, if I start my talk filled with the Spirit and by the end of my time of speaking, oh, I'm running on empty. It's no good for you or me. And what Paul is expressing here, it means to be filled to the brim. That is the most common use of the Greek word that's used here, plero. Filled to the brim. Right to the max. Filled abundantly. But this word also has three other shades of meaning, which I think are really helpful to illustrate what Paul is saying when he says, be filled with the Spirit. So we're just going to work through these three. You see, the word was often used for the filling of the sails of a ship and how that wind moves the ship along the water. In other words, for the Christian, we don't move through life in our own strength, filling our sails with our plans, our desires. Rather, we are blown along. We are moved along by God. That is so important because as a Christian, we're not devoid of experiencing really hard times. Those times when you and I both are, I don't think I can get through today. I don't even think I can take a step. Well, the Christian looks to God to move us along. The second meaning has the thought of permeation. If someone is baking homemade bread, it smells great, doesn't it? Or is it just me? I think homemade bread just smells wonderful. And it permeates the whole house. And I'll tell you why I know it's wonderful. If an Amazon delivery driver happens to knock on your door and you're making homemade bread, he'll even comment on it as you open the door and take the parcel, and your house will stand out from every other house that he's delivered to. Well, so this being filled is speaking of the way the Holy Spirit permeates our lives so that when we're with others, they smell, they taste, they see something, they observe something of Jesus in our lives through being filled with the Spirit. Three, and I think this is key, and I say it's key because it's the way the gospel writers often use this word, plero. It is the thought of control, total control. Now, I think an example is helpful here as to what I mean. What does Paul mean here when he's talking about being filled and we start talking about control? Well, when Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going away and that hard times lie ahead both for himself and for them, he says this. It's back in John 16, verses a little bit earlier in the passage that we read. You are filled with, now there's this word, that's the same word. You are filled with grief because I've said these things. And what John the writer is saying is that the level of sorrow was so strong in the disciples, it controlled all their other thinking and emotions. they were totally filled with grief. They became imbalanced. Well, we can relate to this, can't we? I'm sure, depending how old you are, I can think of certain days, perhaps when we get really distressing news, and whatever else happens that day, our thoughts, our emotions have been completely controlled by something that we've heard, something that we've experienced. Nothing can take us out of that mood. Maybe hearing that a loved one is really sick. The threat of redundancy. And whatever else happens, no, we're controlled by that thinking of what's taken place. Yet the word also applies positively. In fact, Paul uses it himself when he writes to a young pastor, Timothy, who he just regarded really as his son, and he says this, using the same word, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." So, we can relate to this as well, can't we? I've got to pick on my brother-in-law because he's 50 today and God put family in the congregation so I could pick on family. Then you can take it up with me afterwards. But if Dietmar received tomorrow a letter through the post from Uncle Klaus, who he never realized, back in Austria, and he sends him a belated 50th birthday card with a check for £50,000, do you know what? Dietmar's going to be ecstatic. He can finally ride a BMW again. If he keeps the money away from my sister. And you know, whatever day Dietmar has on the trains, even if there are some really frustrating customers, even if the dinner happened to be burnt, it is likely whatever happened that day, his thoughts, his mood, his emotions are going to be driven by that check of £50,000 and possible BMW again. Well, that's plero, totally controlled by that which influences your thinking and your emotions. And you see, here's the point. Here's the point. To be filled with the Spirit is different, let me say, than how most of us right now are likely living our lives as Christians. Because I think as Christians, we go through life trying to balance life. A little bit of me today, and then I'll give some time for God tomorrow. A little bit all at church now, and then I can choose what I want to watch on TV later. Whereas to be filled with the Spirit is to be holy, is to wholly surrender our lives to God. It is when we finally deny self and take up our cross and surrender all to Jesus. It is when everything is controlled by Him, our thinking, our will, our emotions. So a quick recap, and then we'll move on to our final question. To be filled with the Spirit is a constant filling, filling to the brim. It is to have our sails filled. It is to be moved along through life by God. It means permeation. People see and observe something of Jesus in us. And it is being totally controlled and led by the Holy Spirit in a really positive sense. Because God's will for our lives and God's desires for our lives are the very best. Last question. How can we be filled with the Spirit? How can we be filled with the Spirit? I think if you'd have asked me before preparing to speak today, I would have said, well, pray. But actually, I've become quite convinced that may not be the solution here. Yeah, we can pray and we can ask God. Although, think about this. God is not going to withhold anything that He's commanded us to do. He says the resources are there. Be filled. You have my Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. He's ready to fill us. So how can we be filled? Well, I think the answer comes in two parts. And I've perhaps touched on the secret. And part of the secret is to empty ourselves of ourselves. It is to be quick to confess our sin. It is to surrender our will, our intellect, our time, our talents, our gifts, as some people have done this week in running the Holiday Bible Club, in the quiz on Friday night. To surrender our relationships all to Jesus. You see, when we empty ourselves of ourselves. You know, we are filled by God more than we can possibly imagine. Filled like you wouldn't believe. And we might ask ourselves, well, what happens then when we're filled with the Spirit? What happens? Well, have your Bibles open, because this is really important now. Try and stick with me on your phones. Have Ephesians chapter 5 open. I'm going to skim through what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, Ephesians chapter 5. We speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Verse 20, just summarizing these, we'll be thankful. Verse 21, we will submit to one another. Verse 22, Spirit-filled wives will submit to their husbands. Verse 25, Spirit-filled husbands will really love their wives. Chapter 6, let's just read on. Chapter 6, verse 1, Spirit-filled children will obey their parents. Verse 4, fathers will not exasperate their children. Verse 5, Christian employees will be obedient to their employers. Verse 9, Spirit-filled employers will treat their employees right. How great that would be. Notice that all this filling of the Spirit, it doesn't produce something overly ecstatic. It produces singing, thankfulness, submitting, and blessed relationships. Nobody falls over. There's no out-of-this-world experience. What happens? I'll tell you what happens in a nutshell. Our relationship with God is blessed as we sing to Him from the heart and as we give Him thanks. Our relationship with each other is blessed as we submit to one another in our marriages, in our families, in our places of work. Being filled with the Spirit, you see, brings about this clear and practical blessing and wisdom to our relationships. Now, this is where you've got to work with me. I know it is warm. I know it is easy to lose. But turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. It's a parallel passage in the Bible. The book of Colossians is unique, but it shouldn't surprise us that as much as God inspired His people, the Apostle Paul, to write different things to different churches, He also inspired Paul to write similar things to similar churches. And we've got a very similar passage here. Colossians chapter 3. Now, if you go to the middle of verse 16, we'll start Colossians chapter 3, middle of verse 16, because I want to pick up the thinking that we've seen in Ephesians. This is what the Apostle says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. So that's where we are, isn't it? Ephesians 5:15, be careful how you walk, be wise. Well, here in Colossians, admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. End of verse 17, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Then more of the results from Ephesians chapter 5, just a little bit more concise here in Colossians. Verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Verse 20, children, obey your parents. Verse 21, fathers, don't embitter your children. Verse 22, slaves, or really employees in today's language, obey your masters. Chapter 4, verse 1, masters or employers, give your employees what is right and fair. Do you see the same sequence of results? Do you see that? Singing, thankfulness, submission, wives, husbands, children, father, servant, masters. It's identical to Ephesians. So I've got to try not to get too excited, but it's so important. Now we know this morning what drives those results. It's when we're filled with the Spirit. And we've got similar results here in Colossians. Well, what is it that drives these results in Colossians? Well, go back to verse 16. Back to verse 16. And if you remember, Nigel taught on this. So I'm going to bring up the New King James translation because it is a better translation of this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, this is so important for us to grasp. Therefore, you see, being filled with the Spirit is the same as what? Letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. It has to be the same thing because it produces the same results. Some claim, you see, the filling of the Spirit is this otherworldly experience. Oh, it's mystical to be filled by the Spirit. But actually, what we read in God's Word with both these passages open side by side is that the filling of the Spirit is taking the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has given us and letting it dwell richly where? In our hearts, where the Spirit resides. If you want to be Spirit-filled, feed yourself the Word of Christ, the Bible. As you are fed and filled by God's Word, you will find yourself being moved along by God through each day. You will find that others will see something of Jesus in your life as the Spirit permeates us. And you'll know something of God's good control all across your life. Jesus said this of the Holy Spirit. We read it earlier. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify who? Jesus. Because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. What has the Spirit made known to us? The inspired Word of God. The good news all about Jesus. God points us towards His coming Son in the first half of the book. He tells us He has come. He tells us that He's coming again. Be ready. The Bible says all Scripture is God-breathed. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, feed yourself the Word of God. The Holy Spirit who dwells inside every single Christian longs to be fed God's Word. Longs to help us to understand more about what it is to find out what pleases God. Longs for us to know Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17, what the Lord's will is for your life. There is only one way for the Christian to live a careful and a wise life, and that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, some words from John chapter 7 to close. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone," what an open invitation for anyone here today, "let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me," faith, "as the Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Rivers. And then John helps us to understand what Jesus was saying. He adds, doesn't he? "By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive." Let's pray.